Great morning, everyone, and welcome to yet another episode of Thank God for Monday. I'm Brother Greg Cellini of the Franciscan Brothers of Brooklyn and the Office of Mission, Ministry, and Interfaith Dialogue at St. Francis College in beautiful Brooklyn, New York. My great pleasure to be back again with you today. The purpose of our show, Thank God for Monday, is to inspire you, our audience, to take personal responsibility for your professional satisfaction. We want to provide you hope, healing, and peace in these unprecedented, turbulent, uncertain times. Motivate you to search deep inside yourself in the quest for fulfillment. Listeners, it's really up to you as I utilize the information we provide today. Take full accountability for the decisions you make and a resulting outcome. Now, one of the goals of our show, Thank God for Monday, is to introduce role models of people who take very bold steps in their work lives. This is a very special month, the month of May, which is designated as Asian America and Pacific Islander Heritage Month. As such, we are honored today to have with us a very, very special guest. His name is Thomas Lee. Thomas is a longtime award-winning business journalist who has written extensively about innovation and entrepreneurship for major daily newspapers, such newspapers as the San Francisco Chronicle and the St. Louis Dispatch. He is also the author of the very enlightening book, The Bruce Lee Code: How the Dragon Mastered Business, Confidence, and Success. Great morning and welcome to Thank God for Monday, Thomas.
Hey, thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
The honor is all ours. Kindly share with the listeners and me from what city and state you are speaking from this morning.
I am speaking from San Leandro, California, which is in the San Francisco Bay Area.
You have just made this host and the listeners very, very jealous. Are we so beautiful out there on the best coast, sir?
Well, you got to, first of all, before you get jealous, I'll tell you how much I'm paying rent first, and then you can decide whether or not you're jealous or not.
That might change our perceptions of it. Thomas, sadly, we've only got 30 minutes. We could spend hours talking about your incredible life, this amazing book you've written, and a whole lot of other things. We're going to jump right into the deep end of the pool. This great book that you've written, The Bruce Lee Code: How the Dragon Mastered Business, Confidence, and Success. What was the genesis behind writing this book?
So it was we'll go back all the way to 2020. It was to start the pandemic. I had actually just lost my job, and
Oh.
yeah, it wasn't that great. And I was just catching up with a friend of mine, and I asked her what she was doing, and she said that she was actually working on this new exhibit to honor Bruce Lee in the San Francisco Chinatown. And thing is, Bruce Lee was born in San Francisco in 1940. A lot of people
Wow.
don't know that. He
Yeah.
actually didn't spend a whole lot of time in the city, but he spent a lot of time in Oakland, actually. But the thing about it is that even though he was one of the world's most famous people, there wasn't anything in San Francisco to really mark his birth here. There's like a plaque and the Chinese hospital in Chinatown, but and occasionally the San Francisco Giants have like an annual Bruce Lee Day. So, but there's no street name or anything like that. And or so we she says she's working with the Chinese Historical Society of America to do this exhibit on Bruce Lee. And I was like, oh, that's really exciting. So I was like, can I help? And I thought I could maybe write a blog post or two. But then before you know it, somehow, and I still kind of try to think about it, how did this happen? I became editorial director and lead curator. So
Wow.
we did this exhibit, and from the exhibit kind of inspired this book, because part of the exhibit we focused on his career as a visionary, as a movie star, but also as a filmmaker and an opener of martial arts schools, and also he was a big brander, a personal brand. So I thought, you know what, this could make a great book, and I thought I could frame this Bruce Lee's life for a business audience, which is pretty unique because there are plenty of self-help books out there, but they mostly kind of focus on general stuff. So I
Sure.
thought if we could just really apply it to an entrepreneurial, professional kind of career type of audience. So that's how it came about.
Wow. What an amazing story, an amazing background. What do you hope your readers are going to gain from this great book, Thomas?
Well, I hope they would kind of look at Bruce Lee in a different way. One of the things that we did with the museum exhibit is that we worked actually with Shannon Lee, who is Bruce Lee's daughter. And it so
Oh.
happens Shannon has been trying to get people the same kind of goal to look at her dad beyond just being a martial artist and a movie star. And so I was doing the same thing because I think that, people, he's very popular. And when you ask people, why do you love him so much? They just say, because he's cool and he kicked butt. But he was, there's so much more than that. And hopefully by reading this book, not only do you get the sense that, you know what, he was actually a really great entrepreneur, but also that he was more than what I initially thought of him, And maybe I could tap into a little bit of that to apply to my own life.
Wow, that's really something. Now, you were born much, much later than Bruce Lee was. You mentioned he was born 1940. Did you have any personal experiences yourself with Bruce Lee?
So he died in 73 and I was born in 77, but his legacy lives on. So when I grew up outside of Boston, Massachusetts, and I was the only Asian person in my class. I was often
Wow.
made fun of, people would, but specifically with Bruce Lee, right? Because my last name is
Oh.
Lee too. And people would come up to me and go, oh, make mock noises and
Oh
Bruce Lee,
no.
right, and all that. And so, I was tangentially aware of who he was, who wasn't, right? But then I kind of associated Bruce Lee with like ridicule and shame because it made me feel bad when people made fun of me. So the irony of the museum exhibit and this book is that I actually really didn't want anything to do for Bruce Lee. I want to be just like anyone else, like any other kid. And I
Sure.
make a point in a book, and I think this is an important one, that that's what racism does. It distorts your sense of identity and makes you despise the very sort of people and background that you should really embrace or you should admire and emulate. And so that was sort of my first connection with Bruce Lee.
Wow, that's amazing. So, were you literally in grade school, or was this more high school, Thomas, when this was
Oh, it
all
was
happening?
grade school. I mean, one thing about a Greg, and I don't know if you're probably aware of this. Kids can be really cruel, right? And you shouldn't really
Absolutely.
assume just because they're younger that somehow their innocence is still intact. They learn behaviors from, other people, and it's I just remember they're really cruel, man. I thought I was a nice kid. I still think I was, right? But like when it comes to like, being the only black kid or only Asian kid, I don't know. If you're a parent, you just gotta prepare you're gonna get it, man. Anyone who says otherwise, a little bit naive. So
Wow, okay. As you said, you were literally the only Asian person
yeah,
in
I
the
mean, when you stick
class
out
there.
like that, you're gonna draw attention. So
Yeah, that's unfortunate because when we think of kids, we think, as you say, a lot of times I would think of them as very innocent and nice and Franciscan and kind. But you're right. Kids, especially when they get together, it can be a bit cruel. Certainly, without realizing it, sometimes, unfortunately, but
well, kids, I'm not a child psychologist, but I think kids, all the way from being a kid all the way to high school is a search for identity, right? And when you're looking for
right.
identity, you tend to the pack tend to sort of, tends to win out. You know what I mean? It's easier to form what you think is an identity when you're with a group of people. Strength in numbers, you know what I mean?
Sure. Sure. Yeah. Now, you touched on this a little bit before, but let's peel the onion, please, because Literally, it's 50 years since Bruce Lee left us. He continues to be so popular. Talk more about this, please, Thomas.
Yeah, so like I told you earlier, in the conversation, I was trying to, part of the mission of the book was trying to figure out, why people were so drawn to him, and kind of put some meat on them bones. It's not exactly just saying, oh, because it was cool, and I was trying really hard to sort of fill in the blanks. I'm a journalist and writer, so you don't, just being cool, just writing that makes for a pretty short book, right? So,
Sure.
the idea, so as I was working on it, the best I can say is that, at the very least, he had this sort of charisma that people are drawn to him. But to kind of fill in the blanks, he had what we probably call today is the X factor. It was kind of this combination of not just confidence, but sort of can-doism, but also just this sincere belief that's not arrogance, but sincere belief that you're gonna get it done. You know what I mean? That like this, you're not just a talker, you're a doer. And so I think that's why people kind of loved, kind of are still drawn to him. He kind of represents possibility, but not only possibility, but you're the idea that you're going to turn that possibility to reality. And I think that's why he's so popular. So.
One of the reasons we wanted to have you on, thank God, for Monday, this book you've written is really so unique. The Bruce Lee Code, How the Dragon Mastered Business, Confidence, and Success. I found it very unusual that you would include the word confidence in your subtitle, but it seems to me, and in leafing through the book, I got a sense of this, that Bruce Lee was a very confident person, and that really added, that was a key element to his success. Is that correct? Is my perception correct, Thomas? And maybe you could expand a little bit more for the listeners and me on this, please.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up because if you just indulge me for a second, this is a good time to bring this up. I don't know if you saw that movie Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. It's a Quentin Tarantino,
I did
movie.
not, unfortunately. I'm sorry.
But he had this scene where there was a version of Bruce Lee there, right? And be honest, he was a cocky, a not kind of a cocky, arrogant person, right? And Shannon Lee actually got wasn't too happy about that, right? And she wrote it. So the reason why I bring that up because there's a difference, and I think this is good for your show, between confidence and arrogance, right? Confidence is kind of like the inner belief that you know your abilities and skills and that you're going to get it done, right? Where arrogance is kind of a vulnerability because it seems like confidence, but you're wearing it on your skin, right? And you're trying to let everyone know that. You know what I mean? So that's the kind of the difference, right? But I would also say this too, when it came to that Quentin Tarantino movie, right? When you're a person of a community that hasn't traditionally been in power, such as, let's say, women or people of color, you have to be confident, in order to advance. You know what I mean? Like what And who is cocky or arrogant is in the eye of the beholder too, right? So if you were
Exactly.
for instances like women are like, oh, she is a the B word or a guy like a black person's the uppity or whatever, right? That's usually code for white kind of supremacy in the sense that they want to keep people in their place. So be So that's why it was kind of key. So even if Bruce Lee was, quote, cocky, right, that's still, he was trying to do something specific, which was he's trying to draw attention to himself to show that he's the greatest martial artist in the world. And basically, he's a huge deal. He's a huge brand. And you should hire him for movies. And by the way, he wasn't getting a whole lot of roles in Hollywood. So you better be cocky. And this, Greg, was before social media where you could brag yourself about yourself
All
and
right,
build
of
your own
course.
personal brand. So, think about that. Like, this is 1971, 1972, 1973. Bruce Lee was able to build a huge personal brand that he didn't have a TikTok page. He didn't have Instagram. You
Wow. So there
know what I
was no
mean?
Twitter back then and
There's
all
no
those
Twitter,
things.
but what he did have was an innate sense of promotion, but also inner self-confidence. So that's what all he had.
Wow. Now it's interesting, and maybe we've just touched on some of this because I did want to ask you about some of the traits that Bruce possessed that made him such a dynamic entrepreneur. And you think of him, am I correct? You think of him as an entrepreneur, and maybe you could share a little bit first why you look at him as an entrepreneur, and then secondly, what are some of those great traits that he possessed that made him such a dynamic entrepreneur? Please, Thomas.
Yeah, great. So what people don't realize that he was in Hollywood for a little bit, right? And then he didn't get the roles that he wanted, right? So it was again white Hollywood and whatnot. So he decided to go back to Hong Kong, where he spent most of childhooding to make movies that would eventually attract the notice of Hollywood again. But to do that, he formed, a lot of people don't know this, he formed his own movie production company called Concord Production. It was a
Oh,
way of allowing
wow.
him, it was a way of allowing him to exert greater financial artistic control over the movie so he get to do the movies that he wanted. Remember, this is the early 70s. Now, today, every A-lister worth his or her salt has a production company, and maybe it might be a vanity thing, but some people actually have real production companies. But this is early 1970s, and this was a person of color. He also founded his own series of martial arts schools,
Oh,
where he taught,
wow.
and including Oakland, and where he actually created his own. This goes to branding and innovation. He founded his own martial arts philosophy called Jeet Kune Do, right? So we kind of combined that all together in terms of those accomplishments. Like he just did a lot. He founded a lot. So it gets into the traits that you have mentioned, right? He exhibited innovation, he exhibited creativity, resilience, adaptation, but also the sense of branding, and these are all traits that we admire in kind of entrepreneurs like today, like Steve Jobs or the late Steve Jobs, Elon Musk,
Sure. Well,
whatnot. So
this is amazing. I had, and I can't speak on behalf of the audience, but I would say pretty much they probably didn't have a clue either that he ran and started all these businesses and was such a dynamic entrepreneur. That's amazing. Now, I'm going to ask a question. Maybe it's totally unfair, but I'm just curious. I got to ask it anyhow. Let's say life is different and Bruce Lee was here today. What do you think he would be doing, Thomas?
I think about that a lot. He was only 32 when he died. I think that's another thing that people don't realize, and it's almost like tragic because of the loss of this potential, right? So
Sure.
I think the obvious thing that he'd still be making movies, right? I think that he would still be directing, maybe doing everything, probably directing, starring, filming, and he was kind of a hands-on guy, but he also really cared about his craft, so he was always trying to get better and better and better. I would like to think that he would try to make movies beyond martial arts,
Oh,
and
wow.
when you think about it, like, who are the successful Asian American actors today? They tend to all have martial arts in their background. So I would like, or maybe it's just me hoping that that's great that they used it as a platform, but they could transcend the sort of genre, right? And actually, maybe do. Can you imagine Bruce Lee doing Shakespeare? I don't know. Be the lead in romantic comedy,
Oh,
but
God.
I would also think that maybe he would run his own studio, or maybe he has a 5-picture deal with Amazon Prime or Netflix. He would definitely be streaming,
Yeah, absolutely. Such a multi-talented individual. He could be doing so much today, that's for sure. And the world was really short-changed. He was only with us a very, very short period of time. Now, as we said in the introduction, May is designated Asian American and Pacific Islander Heritage Month, also known as AAPI. We would like to think that this is a great month, and it certainly is, but it seems to me, unfortunately, the AAPI community still faces some challenges. Thomas, share with us what are some of these challenges the AAPI community is still facing today, please.
Well, I mean, in a way, it's the same old challenge is the idea. So there's racism, but it's a one thing you got to learn is that it's a different kind of racism. So Asian Americans always face the idea that they're foreigners, you know, that they're not, they're not real Americans, or there's always this sort of foreignness to them. And when that happens, that makes them particularly vulnerable to, like, geopolitical events. Like, so we have a lot of issues with China right now, and so people don't really make the distinction between Americans who are from Chinese descent versus China and China itself. And there's historical precedents, the Japanese American internment camps after, during World War II, right? So that even though that would happen to Japanese Americans, but that could happen to any Asian population in terms of depending which country we have a conflict with. So there's a historical precedent, and I think that as the more tensions that happen with China, the more is gonna erupt in people, essentially scapegoating, people that look like him, right? And we're already seeing that. We're seeing people saying that Chinese people are, well, they're spreading, they're the ones who still cause COVID. They're stealing, they're spies. We see laws banning supposedly just Chinese nationals from buying property. We see in politics a crackdown on Chinese companies, like we should ban TikTok, and also kind of a theme of spying and undermining American society. And that is very, those are third rail sort of trigger issues for Asian Americans, especially Chinese, Japanese, because we've seen it happen and historically, so.
Sure. I would have never thought until you mentioned this how people may not separate what goes on across the world in China versus someone who is of Asian heritage, like yourself, certainly. And that's really, really a shame, no doubt about that, because there's so many times when all of us need, of course, to come together all the time. We need to come together. And you are just as American as I am and anybody else. And for you to be put down like that or questioned or treated with bias is just absolutely terrible.
Yeah, when you think about the Japanese American internment camps too, like many of those Japanese Americans, they never have been to Japan. Okay, so now they find themselves. So if you at people ask us, "Oh, that was a long time ago. Really? Was it that long ago?" And that could never happen in America, but it did, and it'd be naive again to think that history has a way of repeating itself. So just you gotta be looking, for this type of stuff, because it's cyclical,
Absolutely. Now, if I perceive correctly, representation in pop culture and the media are very important to the AAPI community. Do I perceive correctly? And if so, why is this representation so important, Thomas, please?
Well, I think it's important for all people, including people of color, to see themselves represented in pop culture, because it's a sense of identity. Pop culture is not frivolous. It reflects how we value society, how we see ourselves. And when you look at movies and television, all you see is white people. You feel, kind of excluded. You feel like there's, you're missing from it. So I think that, but with Asian Americans specifically, is so compared to like African Americans, right? African Americans have been way ahead of us in terms of like pop culture representation, right? So API has a the community has a history of just being kind of disappearing, or people kind of forgetting about it. So that's why it's a big deal when you see who won the Oscars this year, Michelle Yeoh, who's a Malaysian, right? And winning for Everything Everywhere at Once, right? That was a big deal. And I remember watching the Oscars, and other people were saying, like, I got kind of choked up, because to see someone that looks like you ascending to the highest level of her craft. And she actually, I don't know if you saw the Oscars,
I
and
did
I think
not, I'm sorry.
but this is the real important part. She gets up there and acceptance speech, right? Instead of like, thank you to her managers and her cast or the agents, the very first thing she says, Michelle Yeoh, is that here's to the kids that look like me, it's possible. That was a very, and she, that's why I loved her. She instinctively grasped the moment of that, so that's why it's so incredibly important to see yourself, or at least like people look like you in pop culture.
Oh, that's so beautiful. Thank you for sharing that. Sadly, time is getting short, Thomas. We've only got about 6 minutes, believe it or not. I've got some important questions still to ask you. I don't know if this is an unfair question, but again, I'm going to ask it anyhow. Is there a modern day equivalent to Bruce Lee in terms of a hero or an icon to the AAPI community?
No. Answer, and that's kind of the problem. That's why I'm glad you asked that question after the previous question, because how do you gain heroes, right? You got to be able to see heroes. You got to be able to emulate and admire heroes, and a lot of you see that through new also through the news media, but through pop culture. And I challenge you or anyone else to say that, aside from Bruce Lee, like who are the big role models? You can
Sure.
name prominent Asian Americans, but that doesn't mean necessarily that people, are their heroes or they're hugely popular, And I'd like to point this out too, is that there's a poll that asked Americans about who is the most famous Asian American they can think of, and they answered Jackie Chan, who's not American, by the way.
Oh
So,
my
and
gosh.
Jackie Chan is kind of past his, he was a contemporary of Bruce Lee. In fact, some
Sure.
people said he was a successor to Bruce Lee, but it's like he's not even American, and the guy's like, how old is he now? So you have, this dearth of role models that Asian Americans can look up to, and that's the problem. Who's going to be our next Bruce Lee? That's what I want to know. So.
Yeah. Wow. What a great question. No doubt about it. Now, you've done this great book on the Bruce Lee Code, How the Dragon Mastered Business, Confidence, and Success. Are you thinking about, I can sense you love Bruce Lee very, very much. Are you thinking about any future projects about Bruce?
Yeah, actually, I'm kind of this is just preliminary, but I'm working with this foundation to see if we can do another exhibit of Bruce Lee, but kind of try to place in Detroit. And for there's a specific reason for that is that this exhibit might focus on Bruce Lee's special relationship with African Americans. He's actually quite popular with African Americans and helped inspire things like hip hop culture and break dancing and all that.
Wow.
So I thought that a little background, there's been historical sort of tension between African Americans and Asian Americans. It's like any sort of marriage, I suppose, it's complicated,
Yeah.
and so but the one thing they do have in common is Bruce Lee. So I thought, what better way to try to not just focus on Bruce Lee, but to kind of expand his meaning by looking at the historical kind of relationship between African Americans and Asian Americans, and how could Bruce Lee serve as a unifying force? So.
Oh, that is so awesome. Maybe this sounds crazy, but you could almost say, I'd love to get your thoughts on this. Bruce Lee was a civil rights pioneer. Thomas, yes?
Yeah, I would. He was, but in a different way. You gotta be careful when you say like civil rights pioneer, but like how he was. So he wasn't out there like marching. He wasn't giving speeches like Martin Luther King Jr. Remember, he came of age in the 60s, which is the irony that there was a lot going on in terms of
Yes, that's
civil rights,
right.
right? But he is like this goes back to him being like a savvy businessman, right? He played the long game, right? So he knew that if he was out there pushing, that maybe that would shut him out of opportunities, right? I mean, look what happened to Muhammad Ali when he became,
Sure.
he was ostracized, he was
Yeah.
penalized, but Bruce Lee led by example, and that's what I mean by he was a civil rights pioneer, right? That he led by example, and one of the ways he embodied civil rights is that he embraced people of all kinds, right? He said we were all people under the sky, one heaven, and that and he practiced that too. His friends were Black, Asian, white, and woman and Latino. And you know what? Here's the thing. It wasn't just altruism. And this is the beauty of diversity. He instinctively knew that by opening yourself, your socioeconomic circle to a variety of people, that you get exposed to different ideas, right? And he was an ideas person.
Exactly.
Like to take the ideas and meld them together and kind of see and innovate with them. So that's what I mean by he's a civil rights pioneer.
He was so far ahead of his time in so many ways. Thomas, we've saved the most important question for last. From where can our loyal listeners purchase? the Bruce Lee Code. How can they best follow you, please?
The Bruce Lee Code is available wherever books are sold. And my God, I love saying that because you always hear it from someone else. But you can find it on Amazon, Barnes and Noble. You can find any bookstore. It's actually a pretty good. At least my publisher told me this is a pretty good book to find in the airports because it's relatively short and it's compact. It makes for a good gift, or at least it doesn't take too much room in your carry-on luggage. And so, yeah, there you
Yeah,
have it.
it's so interesting. The thank God for Monday readers or listeners know I'm a terrible reader. Even I could read this book and enjoy it a great deal and understand it so and be captivated. So listeners, no excuse. This book is available all over the place. Thomas has been so gracious to come on our show this morning. Please pick up one for yourself. And as he said, it makes a great gift. Don't hesitate to pick up a couple and share the good. As Franciscans, as you know, like Thomas and I, we like to share the good. We don't hold on to it. Thomas Lee, author of The Bruce Lee Code, thanks so much for being a part of Thank God for Monday today. We've been very enlightened, but this has been very inspiring. We've never done a show of this nature, especially about an icon like Bruce Lee. So, again, many thanks. Continued success, joy, happiness, and contribution with all this great work you're doing, and naturally enjoy the rest of Asian American and Pacific Islander Heritage Month, the remainder of what we have of this month of May.
Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
Listeners, guess what? We're out of time. Greg saying our hope and prayer is that when you wake up on Monday morning, just like Thomas Lee does, you'll say, thank God for Monday. Until next week's episode, have a great week, everyone. Bye-bye.